You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi, everyone. Happy Tuesday. Happy Taco Tuesday. Go eat. We have to open the show like that. There's reasons why, but
every week. Yes. Go eat.
Go eat. Remember, it's long-term hold, so even with range trading and fluctuations, go eat. But it's doing what it's supposed to do right now, and it's ranging, so yes.
That's really good. Yes, go eat.
Yes, remember we said last week it has the potential to do 27.5x still just to catch up with Bitcoin. So go ETH, long-term hold. Yay, go. Just had to open that way. It's a beautiful, what did I say the temperature is?
91 degrees.
91. So I'm in Vegas right now. I'm looking at the beautiful sphere, my favorite thing to look at out here. But yes. I'm adjusting East Coast, West Coast time, and I'm not doing very good at it right now. I'm waking up at 2, 3, and 4 o'clock in the morning on West Coast time. Not good. I was waking up at 6 a.m. East Coast time, so I guess that accounts for a lot, and going to bed at like midnight, 1 o'clock there. But still, like 10, 11, 12 here, and then waking up at 2, 3, or 4, ouch.
It's not good when you're traveling. It's something you expect with the jet lag and the timing differences, but not fun at all.
No, well, I'll be back in the East Coast again soon, so I'll just acclimate. I'll just have to set a universal time clock, and that will be my time clock from now on. I won't even go on local time anymore. I'll just set all my clocks to like a universal random time. I'm gonna say, this is midnight right now. Just kidding.
Oh my god!
But go ETH. So happy Taco Tuesday. I'm watching these jets and airplanes fly across the sky. It's beautiful. It's like one of my favorite places. But So speaking of airplanes, like when I flew in from Florida, and a lot of times I'm always lucky, like I'll have nobody sitting next to me, or I'll have like the space in between me, or like I just am really lucky on that aspect of never having anybody sit next to me when I fly. It just randomly happens that way, which is amazing. But this time I had, the plane was full, and I had these wonderful people sitting next to me. So they're seatmates. I guess that's what you call them, right?
Seatmates.
Yeah, but like, I love having conversations with people who enjoy life and are having a blast and having fun too. And we had similar stories, and they have similar stories in their, of people that are traveling in their family. So a shout out to them. Hi. Hi, y'all. But they were like fun. So like, it makes the trip go a lot faster too, when you have wonderful people around you and they're enjoying life and they're and having fun and going on vacations and traveling and, you know, having a blast too. So even though it was like the middle of the day and everybody's sleepy, but you know, it makes the experience even better. So I just wanted to give a shout out to them too. Say, yeah. Hi, hi. That's what makes traveling fun, right? Like we get to go to all these wonderful places all over the world. We get to experience different types of foods and cultures and meet new people and see different beaches and see different deserts and skies and, you know, it's like the journey, right? It's a journey along the way, and who we encounter and the stories that people tell. Like, I love, 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 love stories. Those are my favorite things in the whole entire world. I love stories. And that's like a thing that's kind of lost. That's a thing that's been forgotten. Like, think about like our great grandparents or great, great grandparents. Like, does anybody even know their story?
No, right? I don't.
So how would you carry on like a family history and traditions? And now that we have like, everyone has Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and X and all that stuff, they're putting stuff out there, but are they telling the story? You know, they're showing eating their food, or, you know, there's shot of Starbucks with a matcha, but... But are they telling their story? So I love hearing stories, you know, like that's the thing that needs to be told, is stories, so that it can carry on and people know the adventures and the life and how, you know, fun everybody had, what their life was like. So,
Or where they traveled to, or what beaches they
yeah.
were on, or who they met along the way. Take pictures with the people you meet to have fun, right? Like,
Right.
you go skydiving, take a video of it. Everything's saved on your phone, everything's saved on the cloud now. So these are the doc this is like the documenting that you wish your great grandparents would have had during their time. And now you can share this with your kids, who will pass down to their kids, and then their kids, and then their kids. And it's like you're always going to be there. You'll leave your mark in history.
Yeah, because how else is legacies going to continue on? The only way that we know about great, 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 great grandparents, and so if we don't have the stories that were told and carried on, is like going through DNA and ancestry and seeing their migration path and that kind of stuff. But you don't know what they went through or where they worked or what color their eyes were. You know, like you might hear or how tall they were. You know, like I had seen my great great grandpa and like found out he had blue eyes and he was a certain height and he was like a Pisces and I didn't know all this stuff, but I found out like through DNA and then having that DNA history go back, but like those stories are lost. So like I love to carry on traditions and it's coming on Christmas and I do a 12 course meal and I do it every single year because I'm trying to carry on that story and that tradition and like my ancestry and what they went through and then carry on the traditional foods. And I do a 12-course meal every Christmas Eve, no matter where I am. I make sure that I gather with family and we all meet up on Christmas Eve and have that 12-course meal because I want to carry on. And then we have like our Christmas traditions and our Halloween traditions and that kind of stuff too. But like that's one way to carry on your story, or that's one way to carry on your tradition and your history from your ancestries. But I think that's a long lost thing in finding out things about your past or your ancestors' past, and you know, like
Yeah, the
it's
traditions
lost,
that they carried.
and then carry on the good stories, right? So if you're doing Instagram and you're doing X or Twitter or TikTok, think 10 generations from now, are they going to go look back and look at your IG, and then what are they going to think of you? You know, like how are they going to see your life? Are they going to see your life like they live life to the fullest, or were they going to see, you know what I mean? Like, think about that because we're imprinted out there online forever. That's one of the good things. And then, but it's also like,
One of
think
the
about
bad
how you
things.
present yourself out there forever, you know, what is it? The reverberating out in the universe forever and ever and ever. So, like, think of what type of a footprint you're leaving and get a good story out there. Get like exciting life, like show, inspire other people. But so anyway, I'm like excited because that's, I love hearing stories. That like took me down that path. I love, love, love hearing stories. So every time I meet somebody new, I love to hear their stories and like what they do, what inspires them, what motivates them. But it was fun. It was a blast. So like I didn't want to fly during the day. I usually fly night so that I can do red eyes and stuff, but it was a day flight, but it was fine, you know. So
You got to create a new experience and a new memory and meet some great people along the way. It's a story.
yeah. And the you know, when people have that they leave an imprint in you, so that's good. We have some really exciting announcements today. We have some exciting announcements this week. Now watch me get so caught up, we forget to say it because we've done that a couple times. We get so caught up in what we're doing that we're like, oh my goodness, where'd the time go? But we have some exciting announcement and some fun, 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 fun stuff that of course will be copied, but you know, hey, it's okay.
It'll be something that we haven't seen before.
Right. So what we're going to announce today is something new and exciting and hasn't been done, and it's going to be a blast. But we're going to go into a couple things and then I'll say it probably mid-show so that y'all can like listen into what else we're saying. So what else was I going to say? Let's say what's been going on in the market. So we'll have a recap too. The Fed met the mid of September last week. Is it already last week? Feels like it's
Yeah,
been years ago.
I
So
know.
it was last Wednesday and they announced they did a quarter rate cut. Yay, go Fed. Oh, so when we met last week, they hadn't made the rate cut yet.
No, They hadn't made the cut yet.
See, that seems like it's been forever.
I know.
Okay, so that's not a recap. That's what happened. So last Wednesday, so the Fed met Monday and Tuesday, and then they announced Wednesday, which we anticipated was a 95% probability, can't talk, no sleep, that they were going to do a quarter rate cut. We said if they did a half, we'd have a huge rally in the market. They did a quarter, and everybody anticipated a quarter. So, like, as soon as they did the quarter, because people were disappointed, there was a pullback in the market, like, right away. But that always happens, right? And then there was a bounce because people were like, oh, I guess, you know, it's like the two-year-old who stomps in the corner and gets mad, throws a little temper tantrum, like, the Fed only did a quarter. But, you know, like, it's been a year we've been waiting for these rate cuts, and they anticipate it was going to be a half total for the 2025. And they waited all the way until September to do the quarter rate cut. So they anticipate, at least they did it this time. But the market hasn't necessarily reflected in interest rates or mortgages or car rates or like that. It's kind of slow to adapt. So it's a quarter rate cut. Yay. That happened. And we anticipate at least another quarter before the end of the year. We only have a couple more months left. So that's positive news. We had a pullback in the market, which we normally do. So there's profit taking. Remember, rumor gives the rally because people anticipate what's going to happen in the future and price it in the future. And so ETH rallied 3 weeks before the anticipated day that the Fed was going to meet, like 3 weeks, right? So we hit our all-time high of 49.50 on that Friday, 3 weeks before. And then there was profit taking because we have a wall of resistance at 5,000 on ETH back then. And so, of course, once we push through that 5,000, then we're on to the next leg up because we have no official walls after that. We just have our normal resistance, but we're at our all-time high at 49.50. So once we push back through, there's a lot of room to go. Again, remember, Bitcoin's all-time high is 124,000 and change. And ETH's all-time high is 49.50. We calculated out last week, that's 27.5x potential to go up. ETH is the number two position in crypto. BTC, Bitcoin is the number one position. Bitcoin is kind of like the dinosaur of crypto. It's the first one. It's where everybody comes in. ETH is the number two. It has more use cases. You can do smart contracts. You can attach utility. You can do a lot of things with ETH. It's also faster. So ETH has a lot of room on the upside potential. Do your own research, not financial advice. But long-term hold, I have some good scenarios for you to think about, right? So long-term hold, we're still early. And I know that most people think, oh, well, crypto's already hit its peak. It's already hit its all-time high. It hasn't. There's only, I think we looked up the numbers, only 8% of the population is invested in crypto right now.
I think it might even be lower than that, like around 6.
Yeah, the world's population, only that amount is invested in crypto. And the favorable laws came out this year, and there's been easing in crypto also. And now more institutional, more investors, businesses are investing in crypto. And so that's another positive sign. So that's early adoption, right? That's the beginning. Again, do your own research, not financial advice. But if you had the whole population of the world on it, then the price would go up by volume alone. Yeah. But think about it. It's still early. We're still early. And I know a lot of people are like, well, I don't know if I want to get in or not. If you don't, that's fine. You know, do what is most comfortable for you. Pick an asset that's most comfortable for you. If it's gold. Gold is at all-time high right now, too. The stock market's at one of their all-time highs right now. So, like, we're in a robust market right now, and it's because we are having favorable laws. We're having reduced budgets. We're having lower interest rates, hopefully more, and there's a lot of positive things going on. So, you know, we have robust economies when that happens. We have higher unemployment. That's one of the downfalls. The inflation is kind of a little bit more intact. So it's a little bit more controlled right now, and that's positive too. And of course, everything always affects the markets, right? And the markets are very emotional, because anybody can trade right away. They don't have to call up their broker and wait for 3 or 4 days. They can just go online and trade immediately with either stocks, bonds, options, futures, or crypto. You can trade right away.
Right.
So and you also with the crypto markets, it's 24 hours a day. So, we have cycles, international cycles. That's why I get no sleep. But we have international cycles. So we have West Coast time and East Coast time, and then we have Europe and Asia and Africa and all the Middle East, all over the world. Everybody's on to Australia. We have all different time zones all over the world, right? So as soon as somebody wakes up, their market's open, and then they start investing. And then when they go to sleep, another market opens, and they start investing. And so it's always like going on its cycles based on whatever time zone is. And I've noticed in crypto, the key times are Sunday, 3 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's like one of the key. So that's like the opening on a Monday before. And then Tuesday at 6:30. So right now, we have another key time. We have a key time in crypto, 6:30 p.m. Tuesday. And then we have a Friday morning. I have to look at the time again, is another key time. So those are like the three key times during the week where we get influxes of volume, and it moves the markets on those three times. Another thing I wanted to tell you all, last week we were talking about Bitcoin and ETH, and we talked about some altcoins, and one of the altcoins spiked from the show. So at 7 o'clock, exactly right up on 7 o'clock, it went up 50%. It's one of the altcoins I mentioned last week. And then it 2x'd that, like within 6 hours. It hit the 2x. And we were talking about when you go in and you invest, when you enter into a trade, as soon as it hits that 2x, to de-risk and take out 50%. As soon as it hit the 2x, they profit took.
It's exactly what we were saying. So we know that it was from the show. So if you're
Right? No, it's
listening.
good. That means that there's investors out there and there's traders out there that are listening and using the systems and strategies. But it's one of the ones that I randomly mentioned. I'll have to go pull it up again, but it's one
I
of
know
the
which one it was.
right. So and they didn't have a news cycle. They had an old news cycle from 6 days before the show. So it wasn't like as if news came out and something else sparked it. But right at 7 o'clock when the show ended, that it went up over like 63%. Like you could see the green candle straight up, right? As
And
soon as at 7 o'clock, right as soon as the show ended, a straight green up candle. So somebody invested heavily, like right then. And then it went up like 58%. And then it 2x'd within 6 to 8 hours. And as soon as it hit that two, then they profit took. But it's been hover, it was hovering up, and now it's like right at the end of the show price right now. But
right.
that's kind of funny. Like I was just naming a few alts, and that was one of them. So
And it takes a lot of volume to move an altcoin. So,
yeah, a lot of volume. And it
a lot of you guys listening, you investors, you taking the advice. Good on you for using the
yeah,
strategy
they
as well.
traded the
And
right way, so I'm very proud of
exactly.
y'all. I'm very proud that y'all traded the right way when you went into it. As soon as it hit the two, you profit took and took out your initial investment. So, yay, good. But that was last week. So we had, and then the Fed was going to meet on Wednesday. So last week, a lot of things happened. So we were talking about the show. We said the Fed was going to meet, that we would have like a little pullback. We had a little pullback. ETH is range trading right now. BTC is range trading. If we have another news cycle come out, it'll be favorable towards ETH and BTC. So we're waiting for that next big push. And they're hinting about some more favorable crypto laws coming out. And when those come out in the news cycle again, then we should see a rally in the market. Hint, hint. If we push through that 5,000, we have a lot of up leg potential. And what normally happens is it'll push through. So 4,950 is the all-time high on ETH. We push through 5,000, it pushes out. Then they profit take because they hit their target. It comes back a little bit because they profit take, and then it bounces and goes back through the 5,000 onto the next leg. That's what normally happens in a chart. That's normally how people set up their buys and sells and their profit taking. So we'll witness that when we have our next news cycle. They've been hinting that it's going to be something's going to be announced soon. It'll push through. They'll profit take as soon as they hit their target. Then it'll come down, bounce, come back through again, and push through onto the next leg. Do your own research, not financial advice, but yes. So we have a couple fun things too. We've been talking about AI a lot lately. And then also what we've been experiencing with AI. So the thing is a couple years ago, so I got into AI in 2019. Let's just put it back there. But ChatGPT didn't come out until I think it was October 2020 on the beta version. And so a lot of people were hesitant to get on it and they didn't know how to use it. And so it was like slow to adopt. They had like a million signups on the first day, I think, though. Something crazy.
I think I was one of them.
So it's been almost 5 years now. And everybody has been resistant in AI until just recently. And about 2 years ago when we started the show, I think it was like February of last year, we were talking about AI and business models and that we go through different tech cycles. So we go through, like we went through web, so like the .com, and then we went into cell phone apps. So if you take a brick and mortar means that you have to physically go to a location and buy a t-shirt or go buy a piece of pizza. Like you physically go drive up to the building. It's a brick and mortar. So it's made out of bricks and mortar. And then you go physically to the location. That's how most business models were, right? And then we have webs came out. So we had the .com come out and that's like a new tech cycle. And all the business models that were brick and mortar were able to move to an online international presence where they were not stuck in their physical location. And now they were able to expand their market to a worldwide audience because of it, right? You have the web comes in the order and you ship out all over the world. Money comes in different currencies, they convert it, and then they ship it out. So that expanded the business model. So if I had a mom and pop t-shirt store and I was only selling to my neighborhood, only the people that lived in like a 5 mile radius knew about my t-shirts, I have limited end users to come by, like limited clients. We have all these different names.
I know.
limited shoppers that could come in because it was limited to the 5 mile radius that you had to drive to my store, look at the t-shirt and buy the t-shirt. Hypothetically, if I'm like a business owner, mom and pop, own a brick and mortar. But when the web came, it expanded the market and now they could sell their t-shirts, display them on the web and sell it to anybody in the world. And so now they have a bigger market share. So it expanded the business model. It's expanded tech. That became the .com. That became the web. Then it moved over to cell phone apps. And cell phone apps now, because of cell phone apps and all these things, I was able to travel anywhere in the world and do anything as long as I had my laptop or my cell phone. And I could work from my cell phone anywhere in the world, right? And then like we had apps like Airbnb and Uber, and now we have Uber Eats because of COVID, and we have maps and we have all these things that you can access on your phone within milliseconds, and you're able to do anything anywhere in the world because you have instant access to it. So all these business models that were like brick and mortar, then web-based, then they move over to apps, but now these apps are like a service model on your phone that you can access and do anything anywhere in the world. You can buy and sell real estate from your phone. You can trade, invest from your phone. You can look up anything within, you know, like go into Google or go now into AI and search and find anything in the world because you had a cell phone app. So now that created a whole nother technology with cell phone apps.
It's a whole new market, right?
Right. So we said last year it was slow to adopt because 2025 ChatGPT came out and everybody was hesitant. Like they had all these signups come on in AI, but people were still hesitant on AI. They didn't know what it was going to be like, who was going to be using it. They thought the Terminator was going to take over the world because of the movies. So like, you know the resistance. You used to talk to your friends and the friends' parents would like freak out about AI, yeah. Weren't they?
Yep. Always, because everyone was so scared that it was just going to take over. It's going to take everyone's jobs. It's gonna ruin everything because they're going to go into your bank.
And that was last year.
And this was
that
all
was
last
only
year.
Just last year.
And the funny thing is now the family members who were scared of AI are now relying on AI.
Right, they become dependent on it. That's how it takes over. Is you become dependent on it. It becomes like an addiction.
Exactly.
It becomes a dopamine. So business models, again, because we went like web, cell phone app, and now business models are AI. So now you can combine any business model out there with combined with AI, and it becomes a whole business model. So you expand your reach because now AI, it's like Google. If you go into Google and you do a search, you're limited to whatever you can read on the search. So you read the top 100 and you pick the top 5, and then you read through the articles and then decide on what to find. Oops. My wonderful rock out music.
Yeah, you can pick anything, right? You can search anything in the entire world, and the AI will summarize it for you. It'll give you details. And recently, I was like, you know what? Let's see what I can do. And I'm like, okay, I'm looking for, let's say, a computer. You go look for a computer and ask, what are you using it for? What color do you like? What size are you traveling with? It'll ask you for details, more and more details, so it can help refine your search.
Right.
It'll get you more refined details. So AI is not just searching everything now like it used to because there was such a small database. Now it's got such a big database that it's asking the user to refine it for them, and it gets you even more accurate answers.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that too. But also remember, so when we were talking about it, everybody was like hesitant. They didn't want to get into AI. They were scared of AI. Mm-hmm. And now they're like, all these businesses are popping up. There are AI. And we talked about this last year, that you can make any business model. This is the new tech cycle. And then crypto too coming in, like people are more aware of it, more friendlier crypto laws. So that's another tech cycle. Digital currency, that's another tech cycle that's changing things. And if you look back through history, whenever there's tech cycles, there's a whole new like industry created, basically. And that's what's been going on. And I mean, think about also the AI that we even had just a year ago, how much better it's now today versus like a year, 2 years ago when we were generating art and it would come up with like random text. It would like say, like, we wanted just to do a sketch, like a layout, just to like get a general visualization. And we would ask for a picture of like a sunset with a car. And it would generate some random text in there that was not even a language that I knew of. Yeah. And it would be stuck in the photo. But AI is also like leaving its little cues and little hints. If you generate AI, it has hyphens. So, you know, like it was generated from AI. And now I've heard that they're adding like watermarks. If you copy and paste and you put AI in, it'll like add a watermark. Like we use AI to refine and to do research, like to find research and then go and then refine the research based off of that. So we're not like dependent on it, but it's basically like Google on steroids for me. So if I want to find a topic or find information, I ask it and then it'll give me sources, which I love. I don't, like we were talking, I don't think all of them give sources,
no,
but mine
no.
give sources.
Mine do now.
Yeah, because I'm a research fiend. Like I love data and information and I want to go look at the information myself. So it also finds most current information. So if people are printing or putting out there in the world, like articles and online, it's finding the most recent stuff. So it's kind of like what Google does. Google will find the top ones. Google ranks, though, and it also has like paid ranking, right? But Google will do the top ones, the most recent articles. So if you do a Google search, there's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of articles that you're searching, but you only see the top 5. So AI kind of does something similar where it does the most recent. So if information isn't up to date, it'll go to whatever is current or around,
right,
which can skew your information because if it's not clean information, then you're getting kind of like skewed data on it. The other thing I want to talk about, and we've had a lot of conversations, you and I have, and I've had conversations with other people too, and then venture capital and other people that are investors, about AI is that AI originally, when it was put together, they inputted the data and the information so it could have a foundation and a base. So the people that were inputting information into the AI, and that also became like controversial if it was IP that they were putting, if it was copyright or trademark, the information that they're inputting into the AI, that became like an issue also. But the people that were inputting the information were like data, tech, scientists, researchers, that kind of stuff, because they were putting in clean info. And just like
what you want.
Yeah. And so when you went, like when AI first started, as it evolved and it kept finding more information that was out on the web, plus the information that was inputted into it originally, it had limited resources because the pool was limited to what it had in its scope so far. And when they open it up to the public, now anybody can input anything into it. And that's how it expands its pool of knowledge. Because now, like, Shelly down the street is inputting her information, and then a research scientist at one of the medical facilities is inputting his information, and then an artist from another country is inputting their information, and somebody in Australia is inputting their information about grass. So like everybody's inputting their information when they're query or asking questions. It's collecting all of this on top of its base pool, plus what it's taking from the web or the internet or what it's scraping, where it's getting its information. And AI tends to mimic back or mirror your personality so that it's compatible with you and you like talking to it. So whatever way, whatever style you talk to it, it's going to reflect back in your style and reflect back your opinion, like your opinions. So it's biased towards you on whatever it's reflecting back. So if I input, hey, the grass is hot pink, it's going to reflect back to me, yes, the grass is hot pink, because it's mirroring my information. But it's also collecting this now, and it's saying, okay, all these sources say the grass is green, the web says the grass is green, but this person says the grass is hot pink. So maybe the grass is hot pink too, because it's part of its data that is collected. So as we get more people inputting information into the AI, it's taking skewed data and bias data and personalities and information that are just people's thoughts. So it's not necessarily all researched, it's not all scientific, but it's also a lot of emotion or psychology or people's belief systems and opinions are being inputted into the AI. So when you go to do a query, it's gathering everybody's collective thoughts and then coming back to you with those and then giving you back feedback geared towards you, but also their opinions too.
Right.
So it's something to think about, because we'll joke around. We're like, oh, AI is very fluffy today. So like AI is like, give me lots of emojis and very fluffy. Fluffy means like it's not very logical brain. It's more like emotional, cutesy brain. Yeah.
long answers and explain itself.
Paragraphs.
And you ask for it to be shorter and then it gets longer.
Right. You're like, hey, just give me bullet points. And then it gives you like a 4-paragraph page answer back. I just want a bullet point. Like, just give me the facts. And then it goes into a full story and like it's fluffy, but it's kind of funny. But we're noticing this. And this is the reason why. So like when people are, we're seeing a lot of people on IG having conversations with AI and then believing that the conversations that they're having is true and real. It is true and real for them, but it's not like a belief of the collective, but that's what AI is reflecting back to them. And they think that that's like true and real.
Yeah. The AI will never tell you you're wrong. You won't have an argument with an AI.
It's like, yes, Yes, hot pink grass is true. Yes, you are right. You are very smart. The grass is hot pink. And it'll come back to you and say, you are very smart. You know, it like fluffs your ego too. So it's kind of funny. But we've noticed that a lot. The more people that use it, the more fluffy our answers have become lately.
Some days it's great because it gives you great detail, and other times it's not. So if you're,
it depends on like what time it is, right? It's like what day it is and what time it is. Yeah.
Mondays is a great day if you're analytical.
Right. And then it gets fluffy by Friday night.
Friday night, you're into people who are out partying and putting into their ChatGPT or in their AI.
I can imagine.
And you're getting the great answers that you don't want.
Right. That's so funny. But yeah, we wanted to bring that up, but it's kind of funny. So we do, like, a lot of my bots, none of them use ChatGPT or Gemini or any of that stuff. We use like our own AI. So it's clean data that goes in, which is great. but when we're like, you know, want to give a proposal, or we want to do a marketing campaign, or we want to think of a creative art or creative way to present something, we'll go to ChatGPT and it gets really, really fluffy. But it's funny. But we don't, like, all of my tech isn't on ChatGPT or on Gemini. You also have to remember, whatever you input is like public knowledge. So if you're putting in your IP into ChatGPT, it has access to that. So don't forget, you don't have privy to that information. It's storing it. And if somebody else asks about it and has a query about it, it's going to output that back to another person who asked about it. So we've also noticed, because we built out AI signals back in August 2023. And now a lot of people are called AI. They say that they have quote unquote AI signals, but we built that out in August 2023. So, and it's trademark pending right now anyway. But, like, a lot of our verbiage on how we teach people how to trade and our little slang words that we use, it isn't a trading word. Like, we use a Coke bottle. We call it, if you go back to our other episodes, we talk about Coke bottles. A Coke bottle is basically range trading on a chart. So you can see a visualization. You can understand how to trade a lot easier without having to know the exact technical terms and like watch a chart. But if you can mimic as an analogy, it's easier to understand and learn something. So we call a range trading, which is going like ranging from 200,000 to 400,000, 200,000 to 400,000, 200,000 to 400,000, and it's range trading. So it's going within that range. It's like shaking a Coke bottle. You shake the Coke bottle, you shake the Coke bottle, so it ranges. And then we notice in meme coins, when it's range trading, it'll do that right before a breakout. It'll range trade. And there's a reason behind the scenes of why it's range trading like that. You take the lid off the Coke bottle. If you put a Mentos in it, it explodes because you've been shaking the bottle. So that's a range trading. And right now, ETH has been range trading, and ETH will like range trade. And that means meme coins have better opportunities while ETH is range trading, because people see ETH is like stable right now. They're not in for the upside on it. So they're looking for other ways to trade and invest. And they'll go into meme coins while ETH is range trading. So we have really high ROIs when ETH is range trading. But back to the Coke bottle. So it's ranging, it's ranging, it's ranging. You take the cap off and it explodes. And so that's like the Coke bottle effect. And that's like a slang word that does not exist anywhere else. I made it up because I was trying to give an analogy so traders can understand and see a visualization of like how a chart reacts. And I can see it in my head, but like people looking at a chart just have like the deer in the headlights and are like, what is that? Don't understand. So if you see a visual, y'all know what a Coke bottle exploding with a Mentos in looks like. Yeah. And if you shake the Coke bottle, you know what that looks like. So that's the range trading on a chart. And then you take the lid off, it goes that green candle. Like last week, the green candle straight up on that altcoin that we talked about in LA Talk last week at 7 o'clock, straight up green candle. So that was like a Coke bottle effect. But like we've noticed, a lot of our verbiage that we've been talking about because it's out there in the universe. It's out online in articles and Medium articles, and we have blogs and Twitter and TikToks and everything else out there that our verbiage is being copied. Because probably at ChatGPT, if you ask them what is an AI signal, we come up. And so people will copy the verbiage of what an AI signal is and then say that they have a trading when they don't. And like use our verbiage because it's been out there for over 2 years, 3 years, right, out there in the universe. And so we've noticed a lot of competitors lately have been using a lot of our words. Like we've been talking about, we are one platform for quite a while now. And now all these other competitors are saying that they quote unquote have one platform.
And we've even been telling, like the hotels that you've been to and the places you've traveled to, you've seen the signs around the hotels that say one platform,
right? One well, it was click. On TV. Yeah. They're talking about trading. And then the other thing, like we've been telling you all, like it doesn't take a lot to trade. Trade with $10. We're like, trade with $10. It's your coffee money. It's your pizza money. It's the money that you can risk and just try something out. And now people are saying trade with $10 on their platforms.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder where they got that from.
Yeah. And we're all like eat, sleep, trade, repeat. That's been something that we've been talking about. And we've been seeing that repeated out there
and we did
in the
post
universe.
That is on our socials. I double checked it.
Yeah, we've been saying this stuff. So like, I guess it's, what is it? Copying is a form of flattery. What's that called again? What's that saying?
I think you got it. Copying is a form of flattery.
Right. I appreciate it all, but if you look at our timestamps and when we did all this stuff, we've been saying it for quite a while. And I appreciate it. It's fun. Like if people become better traders and better investors because of it, then I'm all for it. Right. And then we've been saying de-risk and take your profit out and put your initial back in your pocket and make sure you de-risk. You know, we've been saying that forever. And I'm noticing a lot of traders and investors on IG and stuff are telling people now to de-risk where they were not saying that before. But it's good because they've learned that if you de-risk and you're trading for free, you can take the emotion out of the game. So if you, as soon as you hit your two, you take your 50% out, you de-risk, you put your initial money back in your pocket, you're writing for free on profit, you can take the emotion out of the game because you're not worried if it goes up or down. You can actually be logical in the trade and watch the trade play out and watch what it normally does. And so people are saying that too, which is great because that's the message that I've been trying to get out to investors forever, is that make sure that you take the emotion out of the game. And by doing that, you de-risk and take your initial and put it back in your pocket. Like when digital assets, so NFTs, we used to tell people to buy three. The first one is your break even. So whatever you invested in the total of the three, the first one is your break even. So if you spent $30 on all three, your first one, you would exit at $30. Your second one is for pure profit, whatever profit target you want. If you want $5 or $10 or $50, your second one is for pure profit because you're at a break even already. And your third one is to chase those 1,000x's that everybody tries to do, those 100x's, those 10x's, because you broke even on your first, your second one, you already put profit in your pocket. And your third one, you can chase as far as you want, or it can go to zero and you're still ahead of the game. So we did that. But we've also incorporated that in token and investing and trading. That on the first one, as soon as it hits a 2x, you take out half, which is 50%. That was your initial investment, put it back in your pocket. And now you're writing for free and you can chase the 1,000x or the 100x, or if it goes to zero, you're okay because you're at a break even, right? And you're trading for free. You're trading on the profit. So if the, people are putting that out to the universe, I appreciate that because it makes people smarter investors. And then people will stay and invest for the rest of their lives because they learned good skills, good systems and strategies, and they got better at it because of it, which means that we're all going to be better because more people are investing. They're investing smart and they're not chasing, right?
Right.
But I do have the announcement.
Ooh.
We're running out of time. See, it was another fun episode, but so we get a little carried away and then we don't get to talk, but we have something really exciting, super, super, super exciting, like very exciting.
We're so excited right now.
And you're like, what are we saying? Because I didn't
tell
you
yet. I don't know
yet.
I don't know yet, but I'm excited.
But you don't know that I'm going to announce it. So we're going to be doing a contest. And we're going to stream it live. And we're going to have Trade Against the AI.
Oh, okay. Now I know what we're doing.
Right. We're going to... Dragon is about ready to be released. Dragon has AI built into it that's been... The algos have been built out for over 3 years. It scans 50,000 tokens a day to the top 100 to 200 tokens. And as a human, it's hard for a human to trade 100 to 200 tokens a day. It has the systems and strategies that we've been talking about for 2 years built into it. And then all the data, we have over 400 million points of data built into it. But it's one click. You can sign up for free, dragonpro.app. You sign up for free, you get the first month free. Remember, my biggest way to trade, I always say, go with low risk, go with free, only trade $10. Try it out. So we're giving the first month for free. You can trade with $10 to test it out. There's like barely any money out of pocket. Use the systems and strategy. Play around with it. Get your first month free on dragonpro.app. But we're going to run the auto trader, the AI that auto trades. It buys the tokens. So as soon as the token comes into the feed, it will automatically buy that token. And it will use the system and strategy that you have built or that we're going to input in for the auto trade. So like if it hits a 2x, we'll take out 50% and we'll automatically do it for us. If it hits 100x, it'll automatically exit if we have that as our target. We're going to have the AI trade against professional traders. So if you are a professional trader out there, if you're somebody who just wants to be a professional trader, if you're just somebody who's just curious and wants to trade, we're going to stream live. We're probably going to stream on LA Talk too. We can make this into a video and stream live. We can stream live on X, on YouTube,
on Twitch, everywhere.
So what we're going to do is we're going to have the AI automatically trading live and you can watch it in real time. And it's going to have the feed of the tokens that come in. It'll show it buying the tokens and it'll show its exit out. And we can watch it on the screen and see how easy it is and how fun it is. And we'll have other streamers, other traders finding tokens on their own and trading against the AI. And we'll see what type of numbers come out of it. But you're going to see a trader going through all the steps that a normal trader would do that doesn't have a platform, doesn't use the AI, all the 35 steps they have to go through, and the 100 screens that they have open just to trade their tokens, while the auto trader is doing it live streaming on the screen. And we'll announce the dates, but if you want to become part of this contest and you're a professional trader or you're an investor or you're just curious, send me an email. The email is Powell, P-O-W-E-L-L, at dragonpro.app. Send me an email and tell me that you're interested in becoming on the live stream and trading against us. We'll announce all the terms, the conditions, what we're doing, the contest rules, and then when we're streaming. But this is like, we're announcing it all to you right now. So if you want to get in on the contest and stream live, you can be anywhere in the world, right? We're streaming live. You can be anywhere in the world. And we're going to do trade against the AI, trade against Dragon. So Powell at dragonpro.app. And I also want to tell you, because we've been talking to investors and venture capital, we're in our seed round fundraising right now. And we've been keeping that stealth, but we're in a seed round. So if you're also an investor and you're interested in learning more about dragonpro.app, send me an email to Powell at dragonpro.app. We've been stealth, but we're announcing it now. So if you're an investor and you're curious, you've been hearing about us, we haven't told that many people, we're in our seed round. So you can send me an email if you want more information about it too, or if you're a trader and you want to just trade against the AI and stream live, you don't have to show your face. You can just show your charts if you want to. So that's coming up, but we're wrapping it up. So everyone have an amazing week, an amazing weekend, have fun, go meet people, step outside of your comfort zone, check out the AI, use a system and strategy, go see a beach.
Create the stories, right. Create the memories, explore.
Eat some tacos. Yes. And then we'll see you all next week.
Yes, everyone. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.